You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fanside Network. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Happy Victory Tuesday for the Timberwolves. They defeated the Sacramento Kings by 10 points on Monday. This is the post-game podcast. We're going to talk all things Wolves-Kings, the game flow here off the top, then we'll talk key takeaways, and there are plenty from this one. And then individual studs and duds. This was the return of D'Angelo Russell after he missed roughly 6 weeks. Actually, a little more than that. It was on the high end of the 4 to 6 week time frame that he was originally, or the Timberwolves originally publicly stated he would be out for after a knee surgery. And he was really good in this game, especially down the stretch. So we'll talk about all that. And then also the loss of Malik Beasley now for the foreseeable future as well, which was, of course, the negative news of the day. But primarily, this is a positive post-game podcast, and we'll try and keep it that way as much as possible. So we'll get to all that today. A quick reminder, if you're not already following, please follow on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and the all-new Odyssey app. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can also follow on Twitter at LockedOnTWolves and also at BBeacon. That's at BBeacon, two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. I didn't get to watch the game live on Monday, and so that's why I did not live tweet at all from either account. Actually, coaching baseball right now. So the early start on a Monday was difficult. I had to catch up on the DVR, so that's why there was no live tweeting. But typically, I will live tweet, at least maybe not entirely live tweet, but fire off a few tweets throughout the game with some thoughts as the game's going on. So be sure to follow at both at Locked On T-Wolves and also at BBeacon, two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. Okay, so the Timberwolves announced a little bit before tip-off that D'Angelo Russell would be available, and also because we can't have two good things happen in one night, or at least a good thing happen without a bad thing happen, it was announced that Malik Beasley would miss the next 4 to 6 weeks due to a grade 3 left hamstring injury. Remember, Chris Finch, I think almost his exact words were, it's more minor than significant. I think that's what he said prior to the game in Philadelphia on Saturday, because remember, he played on Friday in Memphis. And turns out they did an MRI, and the team, first John Strani of The Athletic announced it, then the team confirmed in a press release that he'll be reevaluated in 3 weeks. They'll plan that he'll miss 4 to 6 weeks, which is basically the end of the season. I mean, 6 weeks from now, the season is over. I think there's basically 5 weeks left. So we may not see Malik Beasley on the court again, which is obviously awful for many reasons, but not the least of which is this is D'Angelo Russell's first game back after missing 26 games. So D'Lo played, came off the bench, and ultimately played 24 minutes in this one. It was huge down the stretch. We'll get to that in a minute. But no Malik Beasley now, no Malik Beasley for a while, and we may still finish this season. We may yet finish this season with, what would that be? A total of 3 games with D'Lo, Cat, and Beasley on the floor together? It's just unconscionable. It's just insane that this is where we're at now. That this is what's going down here at the end of the season, is now suddenly Malik Beasley's out again. But at any rate, back to the positives. The Timberwolves did get D'Lo back for this game, and he was big. I mean, early in the game, you know, Ricky Rubio started, so it was Rubio in the backcourt with Anthony Edwards, Josh Okogie, and Jade McDaniels, Carl Anthony Towns. And D'Lo came off the bench, was in the backcourt with Rubio for a stretch, and then was in the backcourt with Jordan McLaughlin for a stretch, and Rubio went for a rest. So D'Lo was almost primarily playing off the ball. And then late in the game, we'll get to the closing lineup here in a minute, but D'Angelo Russell was part of that and played really well down the stretch. Early in the game, it was kind of a seesaw back and forth. The Kings got up by as many as 7, kind of late first, early second quarter. The Wolves got up by as many as 9 at one point late in the second quarter. And ultimately, the game was tied at halftime. The Wolves played okay defensively. The offense wasn't quite as smooth as you'd like it to be playing against the league's 30th ranked defense in terms of defensive rating. But still, I mean, the Wolves did enough offensively to be tied at 57 at halftime. And, really, obviously be in this game, right? There was a disappointing few minutes there with Towns off the floor, and then he came back, and Chris Finch used a couple of interesting lineup combinations in this game. Another thing that I'll talk about in the key takeaways portion of today's show. Karl-Anthony Towns had a relatively quiet first half. He didn't really break out until third, fourth quarter in this game. The Timberwolves' attack was mostly balanced, and D'Lo wasn't all that effective early, but he was active. He grabbed a couple of rebounds. He was, appeared to be active somewhat defensively, which is always positive to see. And even though he didn't make his first couple of shots, his presence was felt on the court, which is definitely a positive thing. And so again, tie game at halftime, third quarter was also played to a draw. So it's a tie game going to the fourth quarter, and the Wolves ultimately ended up with a closing lineup of Ricky Rubio, D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, Naz Reid, and Karl-Anthony Towns. So basically 2 point guards and two centers with Anthony Edwards, which is unconventional to say the least, but it also kind of affected what Sacramento could do with their personnel. So it was forcing, the Wolves put Towns on Harrison Barnes, who had had a great game and finished with a great game, but he didn't do a whole lot in the fourth quarter because the Wolves decided to put Towns on him. They were able to put Naz Reid on Rashawn Holmes and kind of dictate what the Kings were able to do from a lineup perspective and force De'Aaron Fox to kind of create everything. And De'Aaron Fox was good in this game. He was really good. But Buddy Hield went cold from outside the arc right when the Wolves needed him to. And the Kings as a team just couldn't really knock down threes with any consistency in this game. And that is par for the course for them on the season. But it certainly was helpful to the Timberwolves down the stretch. The Wolves closed extremely well. It was a lot. It was weird. It was almost kind of like Naz Reid had a really great stretch, and again on the floor as the four. Then Anthony Edwards had a strong stretch where he had a couple of buckets, had a nice and one reverse layup on just the perfect example. I talked about this last week on a show about how teams, when they try and defend Anthony Edwards, they typically don't press up on him in isolation because he can blow past them. It's exactly what happens. He got to the rim, finished through a double team, got an and one, made the free throw, and just had a really strong stretch. And then D'Angelo Russell hit back-to-back threes. He hit a tough two-pointer. He got fouled and he went to the free throw line. And then Towns really kind of put the icing on the cake when they were up two possessions in the final 2 minutes. Towns hit a huge three that stretched the lead, I think, from 6 to 9. He also made some big free throws down the stretch. And the closing lineup of Rubio, Russell, Edwards, Reed, and Towns was fantastic. They did enough defensively, again, with some of the adjustments made by Chris Finch and the coaching staff. David Vanterpool, of course, the associate head coach and defensive coordinator. Whoever was pulling the strings there, the Wolves made some adjustments defensively, and for the most part were okay defensively against a solid offensive team in the Sacramento Kings. I mean, offense isn't the Kings' problem. Thankfully, shooting threes was an issue for them in this game. And thankfully, the Wolves were able to attempt, 9 more free throws in the game than the Kings, and actually out-rebound a team, which is something we'll get to in key takeaways as well. I talked about this in the preview show on Monday morning, is that the Kings are one of the few teams the Wolves should be able to out-rebound and have a chance at outscoring them simply because the Kings' defense is so bad. And that's exactly what happened. And having D'Angelo Russell was, I'm not going to say that they for sure would have lost without D'Angelo Russell, but he was a big part of the fourth quarter for the Timberwolves, and we can't look past that. So I want to get into all that next year. Before we do that, though, let's talk about Locker Room. They are our title sponsor of today's show. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Locker Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You'll find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You can even find Locked On hosts across the NBA, MLB, and NHL. I will be joining the app soon, so be sure to get started. I'll meet you there soon. Go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NBA group for the latest league updates. I know you'll find a ton of incredible rooms around your favorite teams and leagues. I can't wait to join you all on the app. I'll be sure to let you know once the Locked On Wolves room is live. Download the Locker Room app today. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Let's also talk about our friends at rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person at the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com both at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. They're always offering the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Remember, the prices are always reliably low and they're the exact same for both professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. We're going to get to key takeaways here in just a second, but a reminder that you can get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every single major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts. Okay, let's talk key takeaways in this game. Number one, offensive creativity. The Timberwolves did a few different things offensively with D'Angelo Russell in the lineup. They also did a lot of the same things that they've been doing under Chris Finch. But as it turns out, and this should come as a surprise to no one, the vast majority of sets run by the Timberwolves with D'Angelo Russell on the court instead of insert other wing player here is so much more dynamic. If you can run a horn set with D'Angelo Russell, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Anthony Edwards, it's going to be a better option than almost any other combination that the Wolves have been running out there. Or even a D'Lo Rubio, Anthony Edwards trio, or excuse me, D'Lo Rubio, Karl-Anthony Towns trio running a horn set at the top of the key. The cross screen action with D'Angelo Russell stepping back to shoot a three is dangerous. It's not the same when it's Ricky Rubio. And they're still effective with Rubio involved in that action because he's a good screener and obviously a good decision maker. There was another time where the Wolves ran a cross screen and Towns, Edwards cut to the basket after setting, actually, he set a down screen, cut to the basket, and Towns flipped a pass to him in the post and Edwards turned the ball over. He just tried to bully. I think it was Halliburton got stuck on him in the post. And remember, that's what the Wolves did in Phoenix in Edwards' 42-point game when he got Chris Paul stuck in the post a couple of times. It's that sort of action where he can just kind of dive to the rim and get a pass from Towns or from Rubio or from Russell and do damage there. And Towns had options. I mean, Towns could have taken the ball himself. He could have kicked it back out outside the arc. I think it was Rubio in the action this time, so it wouldn't have been as effective as if it was Russell. But the different twists on horn sets that the Wolves are able to run now with D'Angelo Russell just being so much more dynamic is so tantalizing. I mean, there's so many options. And also, not necessarily specific to a specific set, something we talked about early on, way back when the Wolves hired Chris Finch and had Adam Morris from Locked On Nuggets on the show. Of course, Chris Finch, if you missed that, this was now, I guess, almost 2 months ago, 6 weeks ago or so. But Chris Finch was the associate head coach in Denver for a year. Nikola Jokic's breakout year several years ago before he went to New Orleans for a few years and Toronto this year. And Adam Morris and I talked about how the Finch offense, or at least the Finch offensive concepts, relies so much on cutting and timing and spacing. And you know, most offensive concepts rely on the timing and spacing. It's very important at any level of basketball. But it's very important that within the confines of the Finch offense, and there and confines is maybe the wrong word because it is, there's really just kind of, and I think this is the way Finch described it, there's kind of guardrails to the offense. Players are supposed to be cutting at all times and then backfilling where players have recently cutting. And if you don't get the ball, vacate to an open spot on the floor, somebody else cuts. There were a couple of great examples of this in the first half. There was one where D'Angelo Russell cut baseline as Jordan McLaughlin drove from the left side of the floor. Russell cut from the right corner down the baseline, got a perfect pass from J-Mac and made a reverse in the paint off of a cut. D'Lo's actually a pretty good cutter, which is one of the reasons he was so dynamic off the ball playing with Spencer Dinwiddie when he was in Brooklyn a few years ago in his All-Star season. And it's one of the reasons I was excited for the Wolves to maybe draft LaMelo Ball and then also excited for them to bring in Ricky Rubio, because I thought they could utilize Russell as a cutter and as a catch and shoot player more often with Rubio, or, you know, ideally in my mind, LaMelo Ball on the floor. And Ryan Saunders didn't necessarily do that. And we know now that there was some tension between Saunders and Russell about, you know, how the offense was actually going to work. And we don't know. This is one game of Russell playing for Chris Finch. Maybe it's a buy-in type thing, and maybe it was just the Kings defense. I don't know. But Russell was more active off the ball. Yes, he still hunted shots. He got up at one point, he had 14 shots in 13 minutes, and he finished this game with, I lost my box score here, but I think he attempted like 19 shots off the bench in this one. At any rate, that was a beautiful cut. It was a beautiful pass by McLaughlin and a great bucket by Russell. There was another instance where, and I don't remember the first player who cut, but there was a player who cut into the paint. I think it was Naz Reid when Towns had the ball on the left block. The pass wasn't there. So Reid or whoever it was vacated the space. And then I think this was Jaden McDaniels, dove to the basket, cut from the top of the key and got a perfect pass and a bucket. From Towns. So the first cut wasn't there. The passing lane wasn't there. That player vacated, and the defense reacts to the player vacating. They see the player moving, and so they almost kind of relax just for a split second, because it's like, okay, I don't need to worry about this guy going to the rim. I can look back to my guy, shade back to, you know, the help defense. You could see that the Kings defender that was thinking about doubling Towns relaxed and thought, okay, I can get back to my guy on the perimeter. But then before he knew it, before he could completely turn his head, there was another cutter diving towards the rim, and Towns hit him in stride for an assist. It's that sort of constant movement and understanding where your teammates are, and okay, that guy's vacating the paint, now I'm going to cut, now it's my turn to cut, and then you backfill onto the perimeter and you rotate around the perimeter to give your big, in almost every case, Karl-Anthony Towns, passing lanes to kick it out to the perimeter. And if only, maybe it was only this night, but it really seemed to click, and not just for, obviously Towns, you know, has had a similar role every night in this offense, but Russell, Jaden McDaniels got a couple of easy buckets by cutting to the basket. Juancho Hernan Gomez was outstanding as a cutter in this game, and he finished with 17 and 9 in 26 minutes off the bench. The Wolves offense was so much more dynamic, and this was without Malik Beasley, who is arguably their most dynamic slash efficient scorer this side of Karl-Anthony Towns. He's generally far more efficient than Anthony Edwards, better catch and shoot player. So his game meshes so well with Towns and well with Russell. So it was frustrating for him to not be on the floor, but the Wolves were so effective offensively because they did what they were supposed to do in Chris Finch's system. And adding D'Angelo Russell to the mix was just amazing. And I'm really excited to see, hopefully this is more than just a one night thing and this continues. Second key takeaway is Karl-Anthony Towns offensively pretty much only gave what the defense took him, or excuse me, only took what the defense gave him in this game. He had 23, 13, and 5, 23 points and 18 shots. He only attempted 3 3-pointers and only got to the free throw line 5 times, which is fine. It's just less than what he's been doing recently. And so he shot the ball. He was only 6 of 15 inside the arc. And he probably should have gotten a couple of additional foul calls. He was mostly, you know, he didn't shoot a ton of mid-range jumpers. He actually made a couple of mid-range jumpers in this game. And probably could have gotten more foul calls. But he did have 4 offensive rebounds. And he only had 1 turnover to the 5 assists. He was making the smart passes out of the post. He handled the ball a lot more on the perimeter. And so some of his issues came on straight line drives where he just tried to beat his guy to the rim. And sometimes Towns gets a little bit out of control in those situations, but he's athletic and talented enough, has good enough touch and body control, usually, that he's still able to score or maybe draw a foul. But the officials weren't giving him some of those calls, and the Kings were, give them credit, did a pretty good job at you know, limiting the damage when Towns was able to get downhill with the ball in his hands. But Towns didn't make any crazy passing mistakes like we've seen him doing of late. And that was encouraging. I mean, this was that he gave what the defense, he took what the defense gave him, and was effective in this game. His 23, 13, and 5 with 1 turnover was a really, really nice night. The other thing was the rotation. I talked through the crunch time rotation, and this was a lineup we've really never seen before. I think literally we haven't seen it before. Rubio, D'Lo, Edwards, Naz Reid at the four, and Karl-Anthony Towns on the court together, effectively 2 1s and 2 5s, along with Anthony Edwards. And that was a great lineup, obviously. But the interesting thing about this is that only Towns and Edwards are the only guys who played more than 27 minutes in this game for the Wolves. Minnesota had 7 players play between 20 and 27 minutes. So Chris Finch basically said, okay, these two guys are my two best players, Edwards and Towns, who are in shape, right? Or have at least played. I'm not saying D'Angelo Russell's out of shape, but this is his first game back from missing 26 games. So he was on some sort of a pitch count, obviously. So Edwards and Towns played the majority of the game, and then the rest of the lineup was kind of shuffled in and out. Jaden McDaniels had foul trouble. He had 5 fouls in the night, only played 20 minutes. Josh Okogie was typically ineffective offensively and just okay defensively, so he only played 20 minutes. The point guard situation, Rubio played 27 minutes, D'Angelo Russell played 24, and Jordan McLaughlin played 20. I believe that there was always two of those three guys on the court together. It was either Rubio Russell or Russell McLaughlin. I think there was a brief Rubio McLaughlin period of time as well. But Finch had two of his 3-point guards on the floor together at all times in this game. Naz Reid ended up playing 21 minutes because he was so good at the four next to Towns. Wancho still ended up playing 26 minutes. So you had some combination of Wancho and Jaden McDaniels at the three for brief moments. You also had Naz Reid playing the five when Towns was out of the game, which was, 12 minutes of the game. So 12 of Naz's 21 minutes came at the five. And his other 9 minutes all came at the four next to Towns. So really intriguing front court and back court rotations for the Timberwolves. Just kind of all this stuff kind of happening around Towns and Edwards trying to find the right combination. And Finch pushed the right buttons in this one. And I've been really impressed with his willingness to change, crunch time lineups, to change rotations entirely on a night-to-night basis. And I don't think it's in a bad way, because you don't want to jerk guys around and them not know what their role is. But for the most part, everyone's gotten run. It's just varied a little bit night-to-night. And it just kind of depends how you're playing, and the better you play, the more minutes you get. Jarrett Culver played 7 minutes and he wasn't good, and he only played 7 minutes, and that was his night. I mean, that's what we've seen a lot of Jarrett Culver lately. If he's not careful, he's going to find himself out of the rotation entirely. But I mean, basically everybody else, Jake Lehman only played 3 minutes, but you had 7 guys play between 20 and 27 minutes, and Ant and Kat by far lead the team in minutes. So interesting to watch that. We'll see if that sticks here moving forward, or what Finch adjusts here in the coming days. Next, I want to talk about individual studs and duds, the individual performances in this game. Before we do that, though, let's talk about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NBA, the NHL, the MLB are all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Get more analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA draft with the Locked On NBA Draft podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of the now recently completed March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Follow the Locked On NBA Draft podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Okay, let's talk individual studs and duds. Fairly easy for this game once again. Karl-Anthony Towns for me is 1A. He had 23 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, only 1 turnover, was a plus 2 in 36 minutes, 8 of 18 from the field, perfect 5 of 5 from the free throw line. His free throw shooting he's going to be pushing up against 90% here before we know it. 2 of 3 outside the arc, only 3 3-point attempts, but he made 2 of them, including a huge one late in the game, and was just really, really good. I mean, he was solid defensively. Rashawn Holmes is a good defender, but he wasn't going to realistically slow down Karl-Anthony Towns. The Kings, they didn't straight double him every time he touched the ball in the post, but they were close. So that was interesting that they did things a little bit differently than what we've seen of late from opposing teams. But Towns was really good in this one, really, and there's no other two ways about it. Second stud for me in this game is Juancho Hernangómez. Juancho had 17-9 in 26 minutes off the bench. And we saw this, I guess it was roughly a week ago. It might have been the last game the Wolves won. But he had another big game off the bench, and then he was quiet for a couple of games. And now here he is again, 5 of 10 shooting. He only made 1 3. But as I mentioned I guess it was the start of the last segment, Juancho is fantastic as a cutter in this game. He scored a little off the dribble. He drew fouls off the dribble a little bit. For Juancho to score 17 points and only make 1 3 is remarkable. He's been thought of, and rightfully so, as a completely one-dimensional offensive player. But he's put the ball on the floor a little bit and been effective now that he's clearly back in shape. He had the offseason where he wasn't very active because of obviously the shutdown. And also he was a restricted free agent, so he didn't want to get hurt or get sick or any of that. Then, of course, he ended up with COVID-19 in January. And now he seems to be back himself and back to being himself and maybe even a little better than people have given him credit for in terms of as a cutter and as somebody with the ball in his hands. 17 points on 10 shots, only 1 made 3, 6 of 8 at the free throw line. He was a plus 17 in 26 minutes and saw most of his minutes at the 4, but we've seen Chris Finch be willing to use him at the 3 before, which is intriguing. And, given his defensive limitations, and he still has those to be sure, it's iffy at best whether or not that's tenable moving forward. But Finch likes Juancho Hernangómez, and he actually didn't play that much the other night. I think he only played like 3 minutes. A couple nights ago in Saturday night's loss at Philly. So I don't know. I mean, again, it goes back to Finch just kind of messing around with his rotations and seeing what he has. But Juancho is really good in this game. Really, really good. Naz Reid's going to get the other stud. He had 10 points, 7 rebounds in just 21 minutes, played great minutes at the 4, 4 of 8 shooting from the field, 2 of 3 outside the arc, had a steal, had a block, was a shocking plus 21 in 21 minutes, which is not easy to do. I always have the disclaimer of how much noise is involved in single game plus minus. You know, I mean, nobody would say Naz Reid was the Wolves' best player on the floor in this one, but he was a plus 21 in 21 minutes, not an easy feat to pull off. And he, again, kind of changed the way that the Kings were able to approach this game down the stretch with the way he was playing at the 4. So he's the third stud in this game. You could go back and listen to this show from a year ago, and I was kind of clamoring, well, I guess a little more than a year ago, because a year ago there were no games, but call it 14 months ago, I thought Naz Reid and Karl Anthony Towns should get some run together, because in limited time on the floor together, I thought they played well. They both can play the 4. They both can offensively, obviously, play the 4, and Towns can guard 4s defensively. Naz can guard some 4s defensively. And so that's what the Wolves have been doing lately, is allowing Towns to guard mobile 4s on the other team and Naz to stay kind of near the paint and try and deter shots at the rim. And for the most part, that's worked. And offensively, it's a really nice fit, because both guys can do multiple things and have similar skill sets, albeit Towns is far more dynamic on the offensive end of the floor. So curious to see where Chris Finch takes this and how often we see it over the final few weeks of the season. Notable performances that aren't going to fall into either category. Anthony Edwards had a really good game. 19-8-5, 19 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists in 38 minutes. I ripped on him for getting 1 rebound in like 36 minutes the other night. He had 8 in 38 minutes in this one, 5 assists, 2 steals. He did turn the ball over 7 times. So 5 assists, 7 turnovers, not the ratio you want. He was a plus 15 for whatever that's worth in 38 minutes. But 19 points on 15 shots, not ultra efficient, although he did get to the line 7 times. So a good game from Ant, just too many miscues once again. And then D'Angelo Russell was huge down the stretch and probably could get a stud just because of how good he was in the fourth quarter. 25 points on 19 shots, 4 of 7 on 3s, 7 of 9 at the line, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 turnovers, a steal and a block. A really jam-packed stat line. Somehow D'Lo pulled the... I shouldn't say somehow. Of course we know D'Lo can pull the trigger with the best of them. 19 shot attempts in 24 minutes, 7 of them 3s. And getting to the free throw line is not something he's known for. I've lamented the fact that he does not like getting into the paint among the trees at all. But he was 7-9 from the line in this one. He was willing to get in there, and he was a plus 8 in 24 minutes. So a solid game from D'Lo to be sure. Okay, duds in this one. It's difficult in a win as always, but we're going to give Ricky Rubio a dud. 4 points, 5 assists, 2 turnovers. Was only 1 of 5 from the floor. He made a layup to start the game and then missed his last 4 shots of the game, including 3 3-point attempts. Only made 2 free throws. And, he was a minus 3 in 27 minutes again. Only 2 turnovers. Not awful. And he was, of course, part of that closing lineup. but he wasn't initiating offense. It was mostly D'Lo. It was mostly Edwards. And if Rubio's not initiating offense and he's missing all of his three-point attempts, he's really kind of a drain on the offense. And he just didn't have a good game. We've seen this from Rubio more often than not this year, but he's certainly not anymore in that, you know, where he was the first couple of months of the season where he just was having a bad game nightly. Now it's just kind of, he's not with D'Lo back, with Edwards back, with Towns or Edwards on the floor and playing better on the floor more often, and Towns back, Jordan McLaughlin back. Rubio needs to do, there's less that he needs to do offensively. And so it's less glaring when he has bad games, but he just wasn't quite what he should have been in this game for the Timberwolves. Second dud, and I guess I'm just kind of piling on at this point, but Jarrett Culver continues to look lost on the floor. 7 minutes, a minus five in 7 minutes, missed his only shot attempt and committed two fouls in 7 minutes, got yanked quickly in the third quarter as things were starting to get out of control, and rightfully so. It was the right call by Chris Finch. Jaden McDaniels, I should say, also disappointing that he's been in so much foul trouble lately. He's just been unable to avoid creating body contact defensively. He only played 20 minutes because of the foul trouble. He did have five rebounds in his 20 minutes. He's getting better on the glass as a pro, but his body control defensively could use some work, and technique, obviously, as well, is a huge part of it. So disappointing, doesn't deserve a dud, but notable that he wasn't able to stay on the court in a game where, he should have been able to do some stuff offensively against the Kings. And I think we're all looking for him to continue to develop the offensive game we're starting to see. We've started to see over the past couple of weeks from him. So at any rate, all things considered, a very good win for the Timberwolves against a decent Kings team that's, of course, very bad defensively. So it's good to see the Wolves get to 116 in a regulation game against the Kings and win by 10. It's been a minute since the Timberwolves, I mean, they didn't really run away and hide in this one. They kind of, hold on is not the right way to say it, but they did have to, you know, play a little bit in the final couple minutes to put this thing away. But they haven't had a double-digit victory since they beat the Pelicans in the game right after the All-Star break. That was a 30-point win. Since then, I mean, the Wolves have won six games, but this is the first one that's been in double digits since then. So good to see the Wolves, expand on a lead down the stretch in this game and do more than just hang on by the skin of their teeth to win. Next up for the Wolves, and we'll talk about this, of course, on Wednesday's show, but the Wolves go back out on the road after yet another one-game homestand. They're at Indiana to take on the Pacers on Wednesday. That's another 6 p.m. tip. And then they're in Boston for a 6:30 tip on Friday night, Saturday off, and then Sunday, Monday back-to-back. So this is the first time in a few weeks we haven't had a Friday, Saturday back-to-back. We'll talk about the matchup with the Pacers on Wednesday's show and, of course, post-game pods coming up the rest of this week as well. So be sure, if you're not already following, follow the podcast anywhere that you follow and listen to podcasts, whether that's Apple, Google, Spotify, or, of course, the all-new Odyssey app, Audacy, the Odyssey app. You can also follow on Twitter at LockedOnTWolves and at BBeacon. It's BBeacon, two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. Should be live tweeting the games and certainly Wednesday. So be sure that you're following both handles. That's at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon. Okay, that's all we have for you today here on the show. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. And a reminder that today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. You can download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. That's all for today. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.